when I talk of kinesics, we talk of gestures. Now, the word kinesics is derived from the word kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S. What is kinesis? Or when we talk of kinesics, we talk of movement. What movements? Movement of the arm, face movements, hand movement, body movement, all this comes under kinesics. So the movement of the body, the separate parts, convey many specific meanings, and the interpretations may be culture bound. As many movements are carried out at a subconscious or at least a low awareness level, kinesics movements carry a significant risk of being misinterpreted, especially in intercultural communication situations. Now, when I talk of the term kinesics, I first need to understand that how kinesics plays an important role and what is its importance. For example, if I show the thumbs up sign, for example, if I point a finger, in one culture, pointing a finger may seem insulting. In another culture, pointing a finger and saying, the boss saying, please come into my cabin, it may be considered appropriate. So, kinesics, or when you talk of gestures, it is very culture bound. These gestures are culture bound. And of course, it is all ultimately about how these gestures are perceived, how these gestures are interpreted. Maybe these gestures may be misinterpreted. That is where we talk of gestures being culture bound. But we also need to understand that when we talk of the term kinesics, basically, it is a very crucial part of nonverbal communication, because it is very human to have movements. Right? When you talk of hand movements, arm movements, it is very natural, very human. Say you're giving a speech, right? So the importance definitely differs from culture to culture. When you have a responsibility to deliver a message, your expressions accompany your words and they are being watched. Similarly, you also get listeners' reactions through their facial expressions, which provide you with a continuous feedback. So when we say you have a responsibility to deliver a message, when you're delivering a message, you are revealing your traits, your behavior, your characteristics to the audience. So for example, if you as an individual blink far too much, then that is revealed immediately. If you as an individual slouch, right, that is again part of your body language. But what are we trying to say? That your expressions too accompany your words. So your expressions of enthusiasm, sadness, happiness, all that is visible. So you have to be very careful with the way your expressions are put forward. Right? Also, from the listener's point of view, if I'm the speaker and I have an audience, so they all are listeners, their facial expressions will tell me whether they are attentive, whether it's an audience which is getting bored, whether it is an audience who feels that the speaker is communicating in a monotone, right? A lot depends on the speaker too. As a listener, yes, you're expected to be there, be in the present moment, be alert, be aware, that you're expected to do so. But also, what is important from the speaker's point of view, that how are you able to relate to the listeners? How are you able to express yourself to the listeners? How are you able to, you know, get that kind of feedback from the listeners? The feedback could be through the facial expressions, because they are listeners, they are listening. That's what it is. So do I see that kind of movement in the audience? For example, someone leaning forward, many of them having eye contact, so they're actually attentive. Many of them even raising their hands to ask questions if that is possible, depending on what kind of communication means. If it's a speech, then it may not be possible, right? So what is the kind of communication that is happening? So one aspect of nonverbal communication is for sure that without you saying anything, you are conveying your emotions, you're conveying your feelings, your attitude, your mindset. And this is all what makes nonverbal communication an important part of verbal communication. Next, we do eye contact, oculesics. Eyes are window to the world. When I say eyes are window to the world, your eyes reveal and say a lot. The emotion, the thought process is very much visible with most people. With most people. I cannot say that we're able to study everyone's, eye behavior. But research also says that, say, if you walk in for an interview, the moment you walk in, if I'm your interviewer, the moment you walk in and you have eye contact with me, I will feel that you have that confidence in you because you've actually walked in, you're having eye contact with me. So somewhere, your behavior in terms of eye contact will make me feel that you're a confident person. So eye contact, it is a study of the role of eye contact in non-verbal communication. Studies reveal that 50% of this first impression comes from non-verbal communication, which includes oculesics. I just told you that the moment you walk in for an interview and you have eye contact with me, it'll make me feel that you are a confident person. Now, not necessarily that if you don't have eye contact and you look elsewhere, you don't have confidence. But this is one way to gather your personality type, one way to gather your confidence levels. So imagine the first impression comes from this. We've discussed that 7% is communication through words, right? Because 55% is nonverbal communication, 38% is tone. So I don't repeat the entire aspect. Next point, as a social or behavioral science, oculesics is a form of nonverbal communication, focusing on deriving meaning from eye behavior. So just the way a child looks at its mother with fixated eyes. So it is that emotion, that feeling, that love a child has for his or her mother. So a lot of meaning is derived from that because there's an emotion to it, that emotion of trust. Just the way if you're giving a presentation and if you're able to have eye contact with all the audience, then it also shows that you have that authority and you're building trust through your behavior. One behavior is this, where you're confidently having eye contact and others are also having eye contact with you. Because you're building that kind of environment which is based on trust, which is based on the ability to put forward information where the audience feels more motivated to learn. So again, it is a lot to do with your eye contact. So knowingly or unknowingly, a lot is expressed through eye contact. Next is haptics, the study of touch. When we talk of haptics and we talk of study of touch, for example, you talk of a handshake, you talk of a pat on the shoulder. What is the focus on? Touch sends different messages depending on the context. So for example, if your immediate colleague or your immediate boss, if your immediate boss wants to compliment you and you feel it is better to get a verbal compliment rather than a pat on the shoulder. So touch definitely expresses emotions. It varies from culture to culture. And Every culture has acceptable levels of touch. When we talk of the corporate world, it is very necessary to understand that every relation has a boundary, and you need to be able to conduct yourself well by expressing more through words and emotions. That is something that depends on you as an individual or person. So when I talk of haptics, did you know that acceptable levels of touching vary from one culture to another? Managers should know the effectiveness of using touch while communicating to subordinates, but need to be cautious and understand how touch can be misunderstood. So somewhere, what do you need to look into? You have to understand that each person may have this varying level of comfort or discomfort. So it is best to ideally see to it that you conduct yourself in a manner whereby you create an environment which has more of understanding. You create an environment which has more of having a rapport, building a rapport, rather than creating differences. Your behavior is one way which can ideally appeal to people or which can make people move away from you. So it is very important, whether you're a person at top management or a subordinate, you need to understand that each person's thought process has to be respected. And the only way this can be done is by having that kind of mindset that I need to understand one and all, and I need to be a person who will be appealing to one and all. And that is only possible if I conduct myself in a certain way, which will be appealing to one and all. While working with others and using touch to communicate, a manager needs to be aware of each person's touch tolerance. So every person has a limit of tolerance, and you cannot go beyond that tolerance level. It is believed that a person in power is more likely to touch a subordinate, but the subordinate is not free to do so in return. So what we need to really know is that whether you're a person top management or a subordinate, I yet feel I would want harmony in my organization. I yet feel I would want to bind people together. I yet feel I would want to focus on integration, bonding, collaboration, cohesion. And the only way to achieve all this is to ideally understand each one's perspective. Nonverbal communication. Always remember, if a word of praise is accompanied by a touch on the shoulder, it carries more weight. But at the same time, as we just discussed in the previous slide, it depends on a lot of other factors, right? Next is proxemics. What is proxemics? It is a study of measurable distance between people as they interact. Every person has this space or wants this space. That means if I'm communicating with you, I would leave a significant amount of space if I'm standing and talking to you, because of two reasons. One is that I would prefer that this kind of space is possible, and that's what I want. And secondly, there are certain people who feel they do not want their space to be invaded. They feel uncomfortable. So proxemics can be defined as the interrelated observations and theories of man's use of space as a specialized elaboration of culture. When I say interrelated observation, a lot of research has been done on proxemics. In certain cultures, people are comfortable standing close to one another and they do not feel threatened or intimidated, even though they are standing close to one another. But in certain cultures, people immediately move away. Now, this can be probably based on culture. As we said, what is culture? That what is passed from one generation to another. What is culture? It's based on our beliefs, customs, right? Because it's passed from one generation to another. So very important. We understand our own concept of space. We understand what is it which makes you feel comfortable. I understand what is it which is probably not correct or inappropriate, and that is how I make use of space. So proxemics is a study of space and how we use it. For example, if I want to discuss something confidential with someone, then I may have no option but to stand close. But at the same time, I can be a bit more alert and aware and understand that if it's not causing comfort to the opposite person, I could step behind. Also, when we talk of space, so does physical space influence us? When I say physical space influence us, that means the space around us. Yes, definitely any environment and the space around us definitely will influence you and your ability to communicate. For example, in certain cultures, it is acceptable to be ideally standing close. In Latin America, it is considered okay to stand close while you're talking to somebody. So, as we said, this may differ from country to country, culture to culture. So, for example, in Latin America, when people converse with one another, it is considered fine to stand close, right? That means what is close? You might feel this is close. Someone might feel this is close. It depends person to person too, right? But what are they saying? That it is considered acceptable to stand at a close distance. But when it comes to Asia, people would prefer maintaining that space while talking. Also, when we talk of, say for example, your director, there's a meeting. So where is the director going to be seated? Where is his or her chair? Is it slightly away from all the other participants or the members, team members? Because when the chair is slightly away, the way the chair is placed, again, that becomes a part of non-verbal communication, because his chair or her chair, the director's chair, will be placed separately, which shows that position and authority. So again, non-verbal communication here is giving a message that this is a director's chair. So nobody will be seated there, right, besides the director. So we need to understand that non-verbal communication can be conveyed in different ways. Whether you're standing opposite somebody, whether it is a senior person's chair which is placed at a particular position, all of it sends a message. Always remember, if a word of praise is accompanied by a touch on the shoulder, it'll carry more weight, right? Now we spoke of distance and proxemics, that also is discussed, okay? A person's personal space is carried with them everywhere they go. So definitely, how comfortable am I while I'm standing opposite to you and talking, right? It's my personal space. So it depends on me and my comfort level. Next, we talk use of time, chronemics. Time can be an indicator of status. So when I talk of time, and an indicator of status, you will always expect that a person is punctual, and all the more if the person is at a senior level. You will always expect that a person ideally values time. So if you value time, time will value you. Time is of great essence. So the way different cultures perceive time can influence communication. So some cultures believe in monochronemic, or some cultures focus on monochronemics and some cultures focus on polychronemics. Monochronemic, where you do one task at a time, and polychronemics, where the cultures, in that culture, people can multitask. But this also, according to me, depends on the situation, the kind of work you have at hand, and your ability to be skillful by making use of time. Time is of great essence. Time once gone will not come back. So it is really up to you how you make usage of time. Next is importance of non-verbal communication. It improves understanding. Verbal communication helps us understand people better. So definitely verbal communication because it's usage of words, but non-verbal communication also helps us understand people, their thought process and views. Eye contact, open posture and a smile, it brings people closer. Open posture will always convey confidence. Emotions expressed are a way to connect with one another more deeply. Non-verbal communication such as firm handshake and appropriate eye contact displays confidence. It plays an important role for success in any profession. And it'll get easier to build trust if one reads the non-verbal cues of another. Reads. It's R-E-A-D, but actually there's an S out there, yeah? Being an active listener is visible, for example, leaning forward while the speaker is giving instructions. What is another way to know if the person is listening to you or is an active listener? Besides leaning forward, the person will continuously nod his head or her head. Now, many times there may be someone or there may be a person who will just nod his head for the sake of it, but you will be able to figure out. Very often, it's very visible who is actually a listener, right? Nonverbal communication assists in interpretation. At times, we may be unaware that our facial expressions and body language conveys more than words. Definitely, our facial expressions are a giveaway. You are able to say so much through your facial expressions, and that can really make a difference to the opposite person in terms of understanding you, right? And this we've discussed, firm handshake, we've discussed appropriate eye contact, it displays confidence, that is discussed. So nonverbal communication plays an important role for success in any profession. It'll get easier to build trust if one can read the nonverbal cues of another. It encourages persuasion. Individuals are more likely to be persuaded when words are in sync with gestures. This also has been discussed. How to improve your nonverbal communication skills? First and foremost, nonverbal cues can differ based on cultural norms. I had given an example sometime back when you talk of, say, pointing finger and calling somebody, right? So culture definitely is one important gateway to understanding nonverbal communication. Every culture uses nonverbal elements in a unique way. So one has to skillfully handle cultural differences. To enhance self-awareness by monitoring your nonverbal cues. I have to constantly become aware how my nonverbal communication is impacting my relation with others. For example, if I continuously frown, then the opposite person will feel a bit worried that she's constantly frowning. Anything that doesn't really appeal to her, she makes a face. So I need to become aware. You have to constantly remind yourself to understand. See, four of you are working on a project. The moment the fifth person walks in, you get irritated. You just turn the other side. So that should make you aware, because others will get aware that you've turned, your face to the other side. So you have to monitor yourself, monitor your emotions, monitor your facial expressions to bring about a balanced approach in your behavior. So self-awareness, it helps to regulate emotions and be alert towards your own responses. You need to be alert. So when I'm aware, I need to be alert towards my own responses. When you are alert, you need to be alert towards your own responses. It helps to regulate emotions, right? And also when I'm aware, what can happen is that I will be able to understand the responses of others better because I'm aware as to what is happening. with my thought process, my facial expressions, my nonverbal communication. So when I am highly alert with my own self, it gets easier to understand the responses of the others too. Paralanguage, it is a non-verbal aspect of communication. When I talk of paralanguage, the focus is volume, pitch, speaking rate, voice quality. What do I mean by volume, pitch, speaking rate, voice quality? Say if you've got a 30% hike in your salary or package and you get to know and you do, this is paralanguage. You're not making use of words, but you know, what are you doing? That volume. Someone else, you know. So that's where the volume and pitch differs. So paralanguage is a non-verbal aspect of communication. Non-verbal communication is eye contact. Or non-verbal communication, if, for example, if I make big eyes, that is non-verbal communication. But paralanguage is a non-verbal aspect of communication. And we speak of these terms volume, pitch, because as I said, if you get to know that you've got a 30% hike in your package, or you've, you know, you gave an interview and they say that we agree that you get a 20% hike, and you do, right? So that is a non-verbal aspect of communication. Paralanguage is equally important in our day-to-day lives, but it differs from non-verbal communication. Because nonverbal communication, as we've discussed all throughout, it means you're talking of your gestures, posture, eye contact, and body language. Next, we take silence. Silence in such situations can mean any of the following. What situations? When you have sympathy with someone who suffered a loss. God forbid if you go to meet a friend and she's lost somebody in her family. So it is best to be there. But in silence, your silence will convey a lot. So you being around, but not asking questions, not talking too much, because that is the time when you're just expected to be there. So silence is important in this kind of a situation. Next one, sometimes you cannot or you do not have the ability to formulate what you feel. Point B, you do not have the ability to formulate what you feel means you find it difficult to express in words what you're feeling. How are you feeling? It could be due to loss of job. It could be that you're not feeling fine with health and you've just got to know of some particular disease. So you can't express it with words. So somehow you get in that zone where you're in silence. Then you talk of flood of emotion that makes speech impossible. When I say flood of emotion that makes speech impossible, then definitely you are somewhere not able to communicate because your mind is filled with only emotion. You're finding it difficult to interact because you've got emotive thoughts. You're finding it difficult to interact because you've got emotive thoughts, right? The last one, uncontrollable anger that cannot or should not be expressed in words. Anger, when out of control, it can really make you say things which you would regret all your life. So it is best that you do not say anything, but does not mean that you suppress that anger and that anger gets into the wrong direction. You cannot do that. You just need to understand that it's best to let go of the anger and be in the present moment and be within your own space where you have silence. Right? So we finished nonverbal communication. Thank you.